So today, folks, I just want to illustrate the impact of Trump's February 29th of 2020 peace agreement with the Taliban and how that essentially represented the U.S.'s surrender. The so-called agreement, and they call it the Doha Agreement, that Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo constructed. I just want to illustrate the damage that that did and how that was really a surrender. It wasn't a peace agreement. We lost Afghanistan. Afghanistan lost Afghanistan when that agreement was signed. And in this agreement, by Donald Trump forcing Afghanistan to release 5,000 Taliban prisoners without Afghanistan even being at the negotiating table, and 5,000 quote-unquote Taliban prisoners. How do we know they were Taliban prisoners? 5,000 of them? I'm sure that there had to be ISIS and Al-Qaeda in there as well. And by the way, who releases prisoners and then tells Afghanistan, by the way, keep on fighting the Taliban, and oh, by the way, release 5,000 prisoners, Taliban, so-called Taliban prisoners, and keep on fighting? I mean, that's not a negotiation. I mean, who does this? And then also by Donald Trump saying that we had to pull out by May 1st. And I really think, folks, that Donald Trump, by saying that he was going to pull out by May 1st, that was an election carrot, because he knew that Americans wanted out of Afghanistan. And by constructing this so-called Doha peace agreement, this surrender document, Donald Trump thought it would help him carry through the election so that the American people would let him honor his commitment to get the U.S. out of Afghanistan by May 1st. It was an election carrot, for God's sakes. And it didn't matter. He still lost the election, fairly and squarely, I might add. But by doing these two things and calling it a peace agreement, folks, it was actually a U.S. surrender to the Taliban, and it's something that China really wanted, and it's something that Russia really wanted. Donald Trump always seems keen on making Russia happy. Who knows? For all I know, he probably thought that maybe China and Russia might help him win the election by doing whatever they could, like Russia did, to get Donald Trump elected in the first place. Now, it's debatable whether or not what they did actually helped Donald Trump get elected, but there is no debate in terms of the fact that they actually did things to try to help him get reelected. Whether that was successful or not is up for debate. So I just want to talk about this call that Joe Biden had with the Afghanistan president on July 23rd. Of this year. But before that, I just want to illustrate how insane, how it got awful insane it was for Donald Trump to negotiate this peace agreement from the Afghan perspective. Now, here's a clip that I want you to look at. This is coming to us from factcheck.org. And it's from an article entitled Timeline of the U.S. Withdrawal from Afghanistan, published on August 17th of 21. And it goes on to say that on August 18th of 2020, in releasing a report that covered activity in Afghanistan from April 1st of 2020 to June 30th of 2020, the Defense Department Inspector General's office says the Taliban did not appear to uphold its commitment to distance itself from terrorist organizations in Afghanistan. UN and U.S. officials reported that the Taliban continued to support Al-Qaeda and conducted joint attacks with Al-Qaeda members against Afghan national defense and security forces. So Donald Trump negotiates for them to release Afghanistan to release 5,000 Taliban prisoners, and the Taliban ramps up their attacks against Afghan national defense and security forces. So they were seeing, you know, the effect of that judgment that they weren't involved in on a daily basis. I mean, it didn't, the fact that there was an agreement didn't make the Taliban fight any less. They ramped up their attacks. I mean, it's just insane. It's just absolutely insane. So who negotiates a deal without the Afghanistan government at the table and releases prisoners that they're fighting against? I mean, who does this? And then to say to the Afghans, oh, by the way, we're going to release these 5,000 prisoners, but we want you to keep fighting them and the Taliban anyway. None of it makes any freaking sense, folks. It's insane. It totally undermined the Afghanistan government. And then, on top of it all, to draw down, for Donald Trump to draw down U.S. troops to 2,500 by November 17th, just reinforced the fact that he wanted Afghanistan to fail. And Donald Trump did this even though members of his own Republican Party had this to say the day before. So on November 16th of 2020, Senator Marco Rubio calls a Saigon-type situation, this is what we're going to get, a Saigon-type situation in Afghanistan. And then Mitch McConnell said a rapid withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan now would hurt our allies and delight the people who wish us harm. They said that the day before Donald Trump announced that he was going to draw down the troops to 2,500, but he did it anyway. I mean, it was a surrender document that Donald Trump constructed. It wasn't a peace agreement. That was a surrender document. So on July 23rd of 2021, there were reports coming to us from Reuters, in this Reuters article right here, that Biden pressed Ghani to change perception. And here's the situation, folks, that was going on in Afghanistan at the time. And this is coming to us from that article. It says, by the time of the call, the United States was well into its planned withdrawal from Afghanistan, which Biden had postponed from the May date set by his predecessor, Donald Trump. The U.S. military had closed its main Afghanistan air base at Bagram in early July. As the two presidents spoke, Taliban insurgents controlled about half of Afghanistan's district centers, indicating a rapidly deteriorating security situation. Afghanistan was promising a shift in its military strategy to start focusing on protecting population centers, major cities, rather than fighting on the outskirts. So that was what the situation was, folks. But I want to illustrate this, though, too. In the lead paragraph of this article, it says, in the last call between the U.S. President Joe Biden and his Afghan counterpart before the Taliban seized control of the country, the leaders discussed military aid, political strategy, and messaging tactics, but neither Biden nor Ashraf Ghani appeared aware of or prepared for the immediate danger of the entire country falling to insurgents, a transcript reviewed by Reuters shows. So they say that in the lead paragraph, and then they say later in the article, they quote Ghani as saying this, we are facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, predominantly Pakistanis, thrown into this, Ghani said. Afghan government officials and U.S. experts have consistently pointed to Pakistani support for the Taliban as key to the group's resurgence. Of course, the Pakistani embassy in Washington denied those allegations. But it sounds like Ghani knew exactly what the hell was going on. I mean, it didn't catch him by surprise. I mean, it's weird to say that in an article and then actually have the proof in the article that that's not the case. But that's Reuters. You would expect better from that, wouldn't you, folks? But then, in much of the call, Biden focused on what he called the Afghanistan government's perception problem. Basically, he's saying it's a PR problem. I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban, Biden said. And there is a need, whether it is true or not, a need to project a different picture. And he went on to say that I'm not a military guy, so I'm not telling you that a plan should precisely what it should look like. You're going to get not only more help, but you're going to get a perception that is going to change, Biden said. Ghani, for his part, assured Biden that your assurance of support goes a very long way to enable us to really mobilize us in earnest. So because of that Trump-Doha peace agreement surrender document, the Afghanistanis needed to hear assurances of support. They knew Biden wanted to honor the agreement. And this was a cry for help. They needed to hear that the United States was still there. That's what he was saying. Your assurance of support goes a very long way to enable us, to really mobilize us in earnest. But by then, folks, and this is again, July 23rd of 21, the damage was done by Trump's Doha surrender agreement, where he basically forced the Afghanistans to release 5,000 of their enemies and saying that he was going to have the U.S. out by May 1st. I mean, the damage had already been done. And then furthermore, Joe Biden closed Bagram Airfield on July 6th. And then this call with Afghanistan's president, Ghani, on July 23rd, where he says basically that the country is being overrun by 10 to 15,000 terrorists. And to Joe Biden's credit, folks, he actually says that we will continue to provide close air support. In this article, he said this, we'll continue to provide close air support if we know what the plan is. And I think that Joe Biden meant what he said there, but the damage had already been done by Donald Trump's Doha surrender back on February 29th of 2020. I mean, even on July 23rd of 21, it was already too late. The Afghanis knew it was too late. They knew that they were going to crumble by then. And I think Joe Biden knew it. I mean, except he was very ebullient about the fact that, you know, you guys have got 300,000 troops. But they had already crumbled. The damage had been done by Donald Trump by that point. Trump had surrendered back on February 29th. That's when we lost Afghanistan. Yes, as I've said before, the withdrawal, I think, could have been more masterful, to say the least. But nonetheless, it didn't stand a chance. Nothing stood a chance after Donald Trump's Doha surrender back on February 29th of 2020. Nothing stood a chance. Once that agreement was put into place, the Afghan military crumbled. And even if we had decided to come back in with tons of men and additional casualties, that would also mean that the battle was lost. Donald Trump lost Afghanistan.